Hello, dear listeners. This is Basement Gaming episode 71. My name is Herb, and I'm joined by my dear cousin Brigham.
Howdy, howdy.
So this episode, Brigham and I go on another side quest and try to learn a few more perspectives on gaming industry as we interview our first girl gamer, Kirsten.
Hello.
If you enjoy the show, please give us a follow on Twitter at BasementGaming9 and on your podcast listening app of choice to follow up on new episodes. With formalities out of the way, welcome to Basement Gaming. Another side quest, Brigham. We're doing it.
Yet another one.
We're leveling up.
Yeah. It's just like me playing Forbidden West, because I haven't played that game lately, and I never do side stuff, but I've...
What?
I know, but that game is so good, I actually do side missions, and I have this thing where if the main story quest is higher level than me, I'll go and do side quests, and that kind of keeps me like at a good like pace.
So you mean
like,
you play the game?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, usually I just, if it's too hard, I usually just put on easy mode and then just blast through it, so...
Okay.
See, with Forbidden West, my rule of thumb was I'll get like 3 or 4 levels above the main storyline before I actually go and do it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I do plenty of side quests. And then I look over, I'm like, oh, I'm like 5 levels above the freaking main quest. I should do a couple of those. Because I feel like, I don't know for you guys, I felt like the storyline for Horizon moved very quickly.
Yeah.
It is moving quickly for me.
Yeah, it's just blink. I'm like,
you don't want it to be like too easy.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's a little bit of a challenge, just a little.
Yeah, the rest of it, there's plenty of challenge around the world because I feel like the monsters in Horizon are significantly more annoying to deal with than the first one. So
yeah,
I found a challenge there.
I can't really say much because I tried to play it and it was just too much. Like, I don't know, there were too many weapons, too many buttons to use. It was overwhelming, so I gave up on it and watched John play. So
that's a good segue into one of the topics I wanted to go over with, which is backseat gaming for you and like the question is what do you find enjoyable in backseat gaming? Because there's something that a lot of us don't really realize that we do backseat gaming all the time. Like anytime you're watching a streamer, anytime you're watching an older sibling or a friend play a game, we've all backseat gamed at some point of our lives, but you're probably in a special position where you'll backseat game a whole game, like a whole story. Meanwhile, we're just backseat gaming like a match, like a Call of Duty match, or maybe we'll see someone play a couple storyline games here and there, but it's only for like 10 minutes, 20 minutes. But what's that experience like for you?
Yeah, so for me, I think video games are such a unique medium. You know, there's just so much to it. There's, you know, music, there's visuals, there's you're the person, and there's so much going on that even as somebody just observing, like it's still fascinating and it's more involved than just watching a movie or watching a TV show. So I always find it interesting. And there was a point where we played like a ton of walking simulators and, you know, the ones where you have to like make decisions, like the Man of Medan, those you have to make like real quick decisions. And, you know, that's something that you can be involved in as a backseat gamer and decide like, no, go left instead of right. And then, you know, you still feel the punishment that the game deals you. And, so I just think it's really interesting and fun. I think the story is more involved. And sometimes I end up picking up the controller as just like, oh, John is going to go and get some seltzers downstairs or something. And then I end up finishing the game. So that's happened a couple times. Yeah.
Oh, I guess we should mention that you are married to our 2-time guest, John. Yes.
Friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod. Our what did he call himself? The any percent completionist or whatever?
Any percent, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So, yes, you've seen him play many of the hundreds of games that he's beat. So, definitely. You're definitely in a very unique position than we are. And I think that's one thing that people don't realize when you're backseat gaming is that you are part of the decision-making process, which I think is, like, pretty fun, especially if you're playing, like, a very puzzly game or...
Yeah.
Like, Brigham, remember whenever I played that horror game for, like, a couple hours at your house?
And yeah, I was going to bring that up whenever Kirsten brought up the Man of Medan, or I think it's the same company who made that game, made that horror game, too. But yeah, that's a game that I would never play myself, but... Yeah, yeah, Until Dawn. Yeah, I would never play that by myself, but...
Oh, no.
But watching her play it, it was awesome. And also, my wife, who doesn't play games, she was watching as well, so
that was a fun experience. It was a really interesting story, and I feel like everybody can be a part of it, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah, even if you're not playing the game, it's still interactive from your point of view. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And you don't have to, like... You don't have to try so hard, you know? Like, it's kind of nice because you can sit there on your phone or whatever, and then a decision comes up and you're like, no, save the girl or something, you know? And it's like, you didn't just put in 10 hours of all this work, you know, someone else did. So, like, if someone dies, it's whatever.
I mean, even as a player, I think when someone's watching me play, I do feel like, a little bit more powerful because it's two brains trying to figure things out now. So it's twofold, I think. Just
if there's a puzzle in a game, though, John immediately hands me the controller.
That's awesome.
He's like, I can't do it. I'm like, yes, you can. Just actually try. Just give it a chance. But then he's always like, no.
Yeah. Are there ever times whenever, because this happens to me a lot whenever my wife is watching me play games, is like Horizon, for example. She is very much a more of a completionist than I am. Like, she enjoys doing the side missions. She wants to get all the boxes and open up the loot crates that she finds and things like that. And so when I'm playing and she's watching, she's like, hey, there's a box over there. Like, why don't you go get that? And me, I'm just like, I'm just want to do the main story. I just beeline it. You know what I mean? And so it frustrates her because we have different gameplay styles. Does that ever happen with you and John?
Yeah, so that's actually really interesting because I would say that I'm the same way as her. For sure, I've actually 100%ed several games and I have a couple platinums because I am that kind of person where I'm like, I have to do everything. I have to collect everything. I have to find everything. I do say that I like point out stuff to John or say like, oh, you didn't go down that hallway. Or like when we've played Gears of War together or something, he'll be like, where are you? Like, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, there was this door over here and it might have had something in the room. Definitely I do play like that, except with Last of Us 2. I was like, John, you don't have to look through every freaking drawer. You're driving me insane.
Oh, no, you have to. You have to. Even though you know 99% of them are completely empty. She's like, ooh, got a loot?
So frustrating. No.
So we kind of talked a bit about, like, you know, how you game now, but I also wanted to know a bit about your history with video games. So I don't know if you can kind of give us just like, you know, like when you started playing games.
What's the first game you remember?
Yeah, what's the first game you remember playing would be a good one. And just kind of like how you went from maybe how your gaming experiences changed from like when you're a kid, like up to now.
Yeah. So, strangely enough, my introduction into gaming wasn't actually playing them. My brother and my dad played them, and I would just watch. So I guess I really started with backseat gaming. But I would pretend to be Link, and I would go around with like a sword and whatever. And
Like in real life?
In real life.
Okay, cosplay. Yeah.
And I would look through the art books. For some reason, I really always found like the characters interesting to look at. But I could never play because my hands were so small. And I mean, we're talking like I'm like six okay. or 7 years old. And my hands, I do have small hands, Herb. Okay? I just have small hands.
I never noticed.
The N64 controllers were big for my little tiny hands. And I would get so frustrated. Like, we would try and play like Mario Kart and I just couldn't do it. And it was so annoying. So I actually kind of hate Nintendo, and that still carries on to today. A little bit of a controversy there, but I'm not a big Nintendo person. And then my little brother came along and he started playing games. And, you know, I was older now, and so I could handle a PS2 controller. And we would play, I don't know if you ever played Shrek 2. That was a really good game. It was multiplayer. It was awesome. He actually bought it for me for Christmas, and it's like one of the coolest gifts I've ever gotten. We played like some Scooby-Doo game, and then we were in Toys R Us. I almost said Toy Story. Sorry. And I saw this Nancy Drew computer game, and I lost my mind because I was a very avid reader and I read every Nancy Drew book. So when I saw that there was a Nancy Drew game, that was the beginning.
I bought every
single one I could.
Sounds like you're a very big IP gamer. Like,
yeah.
Like whenever there's movies or shows or anything like that you really like, you just like to play the IPs of that game. You must be looking forward so much to the new Harry Potter game, I'm guessing.
You know, I am. I actually just watched the trailer and it looks pretty cool. So,
I'm not a
huge like RPG person. So we'll see if I actually play it if I watch John play it.
Yeah, the jury is still out on like how much of an RPG element there will be. It does seem like there will be some sort of RPG elements to it, but I mean, it doesn't mean it'll be completely like. There's like three skill trees that you need to pick from. Then completely changes your freaking play style. But yeah, it does seem like a lot of fun. Yeah. So yeah, I mean that's really cool. Like how you got started. I think one of the big things about female gaming in the space is that there's been arguments that it's hard for female gamers to get into it because of sexism, fun stuff. Did you feel any of that growing up, or do you feel like your brothers and your dad were just pretty inclusive when it came to letting you play games?
Yeah, I feel like they were more inclusive. I never really felt like it was something I couldn't do or I wasn't supposed to do. You know, my dad, he started playing EverQuest and he was really into that. And, you know, he would kind of see that I had some interest in it. And so, you know, he asked if I wanted to make a character and, you know, I did until he was like, you're going to have to pay $10 a month to play it. And I was like, never mind, I'm good. I'll stick to Nancy Drew.
Gotta use that allowance money to play that EverQuest.
What allowance money? Yeah, no. I also remember my dad would play, I think it was Quest 64. And it was this game where you're this little character. I think actually you guys talked about it.
I remember that game.
Very recently. And they had so many enemies. And for some reason, I would write down the name of every enemy. And I just had pages and pages of just this list of enemy names. And yeah, so it was just, I don't know, my involvement with games was kind of all encompassing, you know. It wasn't just playing games. Yeah. And no one ever told me I couldn't. And yeah. I kind of do feel like that's just a perception. Like it's one of those stereotypes that's not necessarily true. Because people will say like, oh, well, you know, a girl gamer is rare or whatever. But in reality, girls make up like 50% of gamers or something. Like it's a huge portion, more than you might think. So
I think maybe it's because we don't really see a lot of girls, or we don't really know of a lot of girls playing games in the limelight. I think it's changed quite a lot recently with streaming and all that stuff. And I think the biggest thing for us too was whenever we played online games, the only voices we ever really heard were guy voices, you know?
Right.
So you just have this perception. It's like, oh, I guess girls just don't play games. Or because, I mean, I have an older sister and she is completely uninterested in playing video games.
Yeah.
But I also have a ton of nieces and like the oldest one, she loves playing games. So it's, I mean, it's still a matter of like your personality and like what you like to do for fun. But
right.
Yeah, like you said, I think this perception that it's not for girls, like it's not something that girls will lean towards. I think, definitely just like a weird gender norm perception thing, you know?
For sure.
But did you have something? Because I had something else.
Yeah, I was going to ask one more thing about this topic. You know, I definitely agree, especially nowadays. I feel like maybe in the past there may have been much more of like a stigma of like, you know, it would have been, I think there, like girls have always played games just as much as guys do. But I feel like maybe when I was younger, like, you know, in the 90s or something, it would have been much more of a, like for guys, it would have been more acceptable to be like classified as a gamer. I don't know. Even then, though, I think like being labeled as a gamer was like kind of seen with like a negative connotation. So I don't know. But I do wonder, though, like with online games, do you feel like is that ever like a situation where like you don't want to play an online game with other people because you're worried like maybe people may try to treat you differently because you're a woman? Or is that like not like something that.
Honestly, like I've just never really been interested in online gaming. Because I don't like to lose and I'm not the best gamer, even though I enjoy it. And I've played Gears of War on Insanity and, I'm not good at it.
Uh-huh.
They kill me and I don't like that. However, I have played, Tetris Online and, I mean, that's really kind of different because there's not really voices. So nobody is like taunting you. But I'm really good at Tetris. So I will do that online. And John actually convinced me to enter a tournament at PAX South. And I think I came like 7th place out of like 60 people.
Wow.
Nice. So that was pretty crazy. That was fun. I even beat a guy who had Tetris tennis shoes. So, you know, I'm kind of legit.
Oh wow, what a tryhard that guy was, you know.
I know, yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny. Okay, well, that's really cool to hear then. Cause yeah, that's always something I always kind of considered, like, because I know at least like whenever I was playing World of Warcraft, I would meet women who they'd play the game, but they would never want to go on microphone, particularly like when we had like pickup groups, just because there was like this, you know, like this thing where they weren't sure if like the people would try to harass them. Cause you know how people online will harass people for anything, but it's like, exactly. If they can find something to harass you for, they're going to do
If it's easier to find something, then
it's funny. Brigham brought that up. Cause I was going to, exactly. My next topic was, cause it feels like one of the barriers to more ladies, more females playing games is just general toxicity, especially like, I don't know. I see it everywhere. I mean, even my friends that I'm on Discord with joke about it. Like, freaking bring a girl in here. It's like, it's almost part of the culture to just be toxic towards girls whenever they're playing games. And it's a part of the culture that, you know, we're trying to change ever so slightly as much as we can. But I mean, it's still there. And that was going to be my next question is like, did you ever feel any toxicity that made you not want to play games? But since you said that's not really why you don't play online games, you just don't like them. I guess that answers that question.
Yeah, but to that, it's kind of interesting because if you were to say, Kirsten, do you consider yourself a gamer? I would say no, but I love video games. And so that's kind of weird. And, you know, I was thinking about it before I came on the podcast. And, you know, at first I was kind of thinking, well, I just wouldn't consider myself a gamer because I consider John a gamer, you know, somebody who plays lots of games and a variety of them. But then, you know, I was like, well, okay, would I not consider Brigham or Herb a gamer because, you know, they don't play as wide a array of games as John? And no, I would consider you guys gamers. And so I feel like actually that stems from, you know, like girls don't really want that label because then it just invites, you know, more questions. So, for example, I have worn video game shirts and it's always been a video games I really love, like Halo or Gears of War. And, you know, I've had some people, you know, kind of be like, nice shirt, or like, do you really even like Halo?
And it's like, gosh.
Gatekeeping?
Yeah, exactly. I've played all the Halos more than once. So, you know, I have faced that, but to me, it's just like, okay, you're just an idiot. So,
yeah.
I'm aware that, you know, there are people who get that a lot worse. And, you know, that's really unfortunate because gaming, I think, should be, you know, such an inclusive thing. And I think it really is when you look beyond just, you know, the Call of Duty lobbies, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure. I think so, too. I think, like, you know, in the grand scheme of things, if you look at the number of people who just play games, I think it is very inclusive. And the thing I like about video games so much is I feel like it happens a lot with online games, too. It doesn't matter, like, what your background is or, you know, how much money you have or where you're from. Like, it's like a level playing field. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And everyone's kind of set in this equal playing field. And, like, it doesn't matter, like, who you are. Like, people just want to play a game with you. And, like, you know, if you're fun to play with, if you're good at the game, then, like, everyone's having a good time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think using John as a bar is quite a high bar to clear to call someone a gamer.
Yeah.
I think the reason why it's so hard to classify what a gamer is because most people are gamers. They just don't know it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Because there's so many different kinds of games. There's so many levels of commitment when it comes to playing a game. People play games on their phones.
But if you play Candy Crush at a stoplight, you're not a gamer.
At a stoplight?
I don't know anyone who does that, but I'm sure they're out there.
Like, yeah. I know my brother's wife, she'll play like Candy Crush or other similar type games. I'm just like, as if you're playing a video, some sort of electronic entertainment, I typically call you somewhat of a gamer. I don't know.
That's a very generous.
I'm very generous about it because I'm inclusive about it because I want everyone to have a way in, you know?
It's something, like, you love so much that you want everyone to be a part of it.
Yeah. And it's like, maybe that's how you start playing games. It's like playing something that's easy on your phone, and then maybe you'll play something a little bit more complex, and then maybe you'll like that. And there are people that play absolutely no games. Like, I can't remember the last time my sister is even looked sideways at a video game. So it's like, I would not call her a gamer at all.
Yeah.
But there are people that are just like, they have like their toe in the door, like their toe in the water, and just like, just jump in. It's a beautiful water. It feels great in here.
Well, I think that people kind of think that there's like this steep learning curve to video games. It's like, oh, I can't just pick up the controller and play the newest Call of Duty game. Like, that's hard. Well, yeah, it is. But if you start off, you know, playing, oh goodness,
freaking I mean, even Dark Souls or something.
I was going the other direction. Like, if you play a little bit of Smash Brothers, you know, like, bros, sorry. You know, it's like, it's a button masher. So then you start getting comfortable with just holding the controller. Even if you don't win, you know, you're getting kind of more familiar with button placements. Although I hate the button placements of the Switch. You know, and you kind of work your way up. And that's what I did. I remember there was just this one month a few years ago where I just suddenly played every Call of Duty game that I could play. And I loved it. And by the time I got to, I think it was Black Ops 2, I played it on the hardest mode. And I had started off on the baby mode. And I remember John was like, why are you doing this? And I was like, I don't know. I can do it though. But like, why wouldn't I? And I just felt so like cool and accomplished. And for him, because he's kind of like my gaming idol, you know, and so for him to be like, whoa, I wouldn't even do that. I was like, oh man, I made it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Call of Duty on hard mode is frustrating, to say the least.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I definitely cried at one point. So
you just get pelted by grenades the entire time. It is infuriating. So, yeah, good on you.
Yeah.
Good on you. Mm. All right. Would you have something else, Brian? Because I have another one.
Yeah. So, well, I just want to ask another question. This is not really related to what we've been talking about at all. But so now, you know, you and John, you have a kid now. Has your gaming habits change? Like, what's it like to, you know, to be quote unquote a gamer, like now that mm-hmm. you're a mom as well?
Well, okay, so I've mentioned Halo a few times, and I love the Halo series. And as you know, there's a new Halo game. All right, it's not really new, I guess, to everyone else, maybe. Everyone's beaten it, but I haven't played it. And the reason is because I am mom now. And I know that I will play it, but I love John. But sometimes, you know, like the other day I went to go do a task, and he was like, well, what do I do if he gets upset and starts crying? And I just want to be like, just take care of him.
You parent him.
Yeah. Like, you're his dad. You've done it before, you know? And so I just kind of, I'm like, do I really like make him watch PAX while, you know, I play the new Halo game? Well, maybe I'll wait until he has more of a schedule. You know, so mm-hmm. for me, I really haven't done much gaming. And actually, thanks to pregnancy and hormones, I tried to play Tetris and I couldn't because my wrists hurt so badly. So that was fun, but that's all better now. But John played so many games during his paternity leave, and it was awesome. I'm not complaining at all because it was entertaining. Like, a newborn sleeps a ton, but you can't just really leave them by themselves. So to have something to watch and be more involved with was fun. You know, I don't think I mentioned it before, but the reason I like video games more than just like watching a TV show is because you do feel more invested. You know, it feels more involved in, like, we said, you know, you're making the decisions, even if it's a linear game, you know, the onus is still on you, right, to move the story forward. So I definitely, we did that so much during his mm-hmm. paternity leave for sure.
Okay. Yeah, that's really cool. That's interesting. Yeah. And that's one of those things too, where, you know, on that note of kind of like, you know, being gamer parents in a way, you and John both play games a lot. Mm-hmm. Do you think that, you know, as your kid gets older, do you think that's going to help you? I'm not sure how to ask this. I guess I should say, preface this with saying, like, you know, when I was growing up, my parents didn't play video games. Mm-hmm. So it's this weird thing where they're like trying to like set boundaries of like how often I can play games, right, or, you know, like they weren't sure which kind of games I could play, which ones were okay or not okay to play. You know, remember sometimes mm-hmm. they'd ask me to pause a game, but it's an online game. So it's like, I can't pause it. They're the like, classic. What do you mean you can't pause it? You know what I mean? So
okay,
like,
that is the worst. I'm so glad Elden Ring is done in this household.
Yeah, right. You can't pause,
like, Elden Ring. I can't pause. You have you to change his diaper. I'm like, oh. I'm
you
like,
cannot pause Elden Ring.
Gosh, I'm going to wow. break this disc.
Yeah, you can go rest somewhere and then nothing's going to bother you, but.
Yeah, but no. it would always be in the middle of some boss fight that he was going to die in anyways. sorry, John.
He beat the game that recently we heard, so.
Yeah, he's the only one of the three of us that's beat us.
It's done. I'm so happy. That was so boring to watch. There was no story. I'm not going to read things. I'm sure Control was a really great game, but I'm not going to read a bunch of documents.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, I totally agree. That game had way too much, like,
yeah, I was looking forward to it so much because I love, like, Quantum Break and stuff, but nope, I'm not going to read.
Yeah.
The way you said that, just, I'm not going to read a bunch of documents. What am I, secretary?
Yeah. But back to your point, I definitely think that PAX in a way is at a disadvantage because I'm not going to let him play Grand Theft Auto when he's 10, like his father got to do. But at the same time, like, we're definitely going to play video games with him. We have a game room that is fully decked out in awesome game stuff. And, you know, I love to cosplay. I think that's super fun. I do that during, you know, Halloween. I love making props from video games and art as well. So, I mean, it's really all throughout our home. He's going to grow up surrounded by it more than most kids. So I honestly think that part will be to its advantage, because I think video games are only going up, right? Like mm-hmm. the trend is that only, like we already talked about, like everyone really is a gamer. They just, you know, don't know it.
Sometimes. They're in denial. It's
yeah.
okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think the time of like saying hard rules, like your kids just can't play games, period. Like that's like saying your kids can't listen to music at this point. You know what I mean? Like it's just way too prevalent and too mainstream to be something people can ignore.
They do try. My cousin's husband said, I'm not going to have an Xbox in my house. And John and I were like, okay, well, we're not going to have a football in our house, because he's a football player and yeah. whatever. And, you know, like, I mean, honestly, the football thing is serious, because that gives you brain damage, and especially when you play it as a young child. So don't let your kids play football. Anyways, but like video games, you can gain so many skills from video games.
Yeah.
One thing for me is actually I have a lot of nightmares, which are horrible. I know, like, where is this going? But when I play video games, I can do like the lucid dreaming, where you can change the dream or you realize you're dreaming. And my nightmares are so much more manageable, because my brain tells myself like, hey, this nightmare is actually you playing a video game. So when you die, it's okay, because you respawn and you get to try again. And it's nice. There's tons yeah. of other skills too, you know, quick decision making. They've proven that's one. Obviously, problem video solving. Games do not make you more violent. They've proven that multiple times. However, yes, you do need boundaries. You do need, you know, set times, just like anything. You know, moderation is key. But yeah, telling your kid they can't play video games, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool. That's interesting.
Yeah. I hope my kids like playing video games. That would be weird. It'd be like, you know, when
yeah.
Your parents are really into like sports and stuff, and then their kids are not. It's like,
yeah,
it's okay, but it's a little sad at the same time. Right. You know, the parents are like a little sad about it, but
I'm so, yeah, hopefully they do look like it. If PAX is into sports, oh man, we're in trouble.
All right. So the last topic I had, which is a little, I guess not really that controversial, but it's a discussion around girl streamers. Okay. There's a lot of like male toxicity around this topic in mm-hmm. terms of just guys watching girls stream on Twitch primarily, and just say, oh, you're only famous because you're pretty. I don't know if Brigham and I have had this conversation on the podcast, but we've definitely had it like outside of the podcast. Or like whenever you tune in to a stream and it's like, I don't want to say it's obvious, but it just feels a little obvious that the girl is like kind of using the fact that she's a girl to her advantage, essentially. I don't know if you have any opinions on this from
yeah.
your perspective. My perspective on it, by the way, is, yo, just if you make your money, girl, like right. I am totally for anything you want to do. Yeah. That'll make you, first of all, make you happy, because a lot of the girl streamers that I know of and I follow, like, they have like tiny little cameras that barely show their face, and is like, they're really good at the game and they love playing games, you know. And to mm-hmm. be a good streamer is freaking hard. If it was easy, every girl would just turn on a stream and make millions of dollars. It's not that easy. Yeah. So yeah, even if it's like the other more extreme version of, I guess, streaming, which is like using the fact that, you know, it seems like a bunch of guys think I'm pretty, so I'm going to turn on the stream and make a bunch of money. I'm like, fuck, that's good too. Make that money, you know? So
yeah,
I want to know like what your perspective is.
Yeah, I agree. Like, do what makes you happy, as long as it's not hurting anyone else. And like, you know, make your money as long as it's, again, not hurting anyone else. I do think I wouldn't do it myself. Like, I did try streaming one time. I thought maybe I would like it. Honestly, I played some Nancy Drew-esque game, and it was just kind of hard to always feel on, you know, like I always felt yeah. like I had to be funny and I had to be like talking. And that was difficult when there was like one person watching and it was my little brother. Shout out to him for the support though. I would never, you know, kind of like dress, I don't know,
provocatively.
Yeah. Yeah. Not modestly, but I am a person who dresses super modestly anyways, just because I don't like my skin to be out there, but that's just me. Would I want my daughter to do it? No, not that I have a daughter, but, you know, it's like to each their own, right? You know, no. And if people want to watch that, that's cool. However, I do hate that it does attract a lot of toxic people, and, you know, people are just mean too, of like, oh, you think you're pretty? Well, you're not pretty. Like, there's that too. Like, it's not just men, you know, to women. It's women to women too. And I think that's difficult. You know, they put themselves out there, and so obviously they're going to get those kind of reactions from different people.
Yeah, it's almost like,
we'll just see where it goes. Yeah.
It's just unfortunate because anytime there's a really popular female streamer, and you know, she's trying to keep her chat in check, you know, just like trying right. to keep people being nice and all that stuff. Where like the toxicity around it is like, okay, I can't be toxic, but they'll just like sit there quietly. But anytime someone says something nice about the streamer, mm-hmm. all of a sudden everyone's calling that person a simp. You know, it's like you're either quietly being toxic, or just like, oh, she's only here because she's pretty, etc. Yeah. Or like when you're actually defending the person, you're just like, no, she's actually, you know, a good gamer. People, it was like, oh, you're just right. a simp. It's like there's just no winning, and that's the thing.
There is no winning. There are people that are constantly looking to troll, constantly looking to be obnoxious, because that's the only way they get their kicks. And that goes back to the do what makes you happy, unless you're hurting someone. Those people are doing what makes them happy, but they're hurting other people. You know, whether it's making the experience less enjoyable for everyone. You know, like if somebody is like, oh, I love the braid in your hair or something, then it's like, oh, that's, thank you. That's so nice. I can't imagine someone being like, wow, what a simp, you know?
Yes. Like, the person right under that in the chat is just like, he's just trying to get in your pants. It's like, come on. That person could very well could just be being nice in that moment. Yeah. And you just ruined it by like making it weird.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So more power to them, but I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I'm kind of same boat too. What you guys were saying, just like I feel like I think it would only have been a problem if on Twitch that was the only way if you're a female to get views, but it's obviously not. You know what I mean? There's a lot of like, you know, girl streamers that are popular because like for a multitude of reasons. Some of them mm-hmm. because they're pretty, some of them because they're good at games, some of them because they're funny, but some of them because of all three, you know what I mean? Or a mixture of that combination. So yeah, so it is like one of those things. I feel like it's just so talked about often because mm-hmm. like in everything, whenever someone fails, it's never their fault. It's for some other reason. And so we see people who stream and don't do good, and they're like, oh, well, you know, if I was a girl, then maybe I would have higher numbers or something like that. Right. You know what I mean? So
it's not. Yeah, that's not necessarily true.
Yeah, exactly.
And I will say, in case you don't know this, I would say the majority of girls dress up and, you know, try to look good for other women. Like it's not really for the guys. It's like, if a girl compliments me, I should say a woman. If a woman compliments me, like it means more, because it's like she understands all the like trouble you go through and everything. So like they're more than likely not even really looking for that male attention that they do get during streaming. But I mean, that's just a theory.
That's an interesting take. That makes sense too, because I feel like there is some sort of like, you know, and I don't know if this is a good or bad thing either, but there is like this like societal expectation on women where it's like, you know, like I feel like a dude just throw on a t-shirt and walk out and they're fine. Yeah. You know what I mean? But like a woman, it's like, you have to like it's like the society expectation to like wear makeup and have your hair done nicely and stuff like that. And so,
it doesn't make sense.
It's like from a woman to woman, like they know like all the effort it takes.
Yeah. It's like the trope, right? Of like, you know, I go out, I'm not wearing makeup, and I see someone I know and they're like, wow, you look really tired. And it's like, oh, no, I'm just not wearing makeup, you know? Yeah. So it's kind of like that.
That's interesting.
Okay. This was a very
sidetrack.
No, all good.
I mean, this whole episode is a sidetrack, honestly. We learned a lot, Miriam, in this side quest. We leveled up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We asked some... we asked some tough questions too, and some like had some serious conversations, but we're super appreciative for Kirsten to come on and talk about it with us for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Kirsten, I would definitely categorize you as a gamer.
Thank you. By the way, my favorite game is Infamous Second Son. I do have to shout that out. I played it twice, platinumed. I love Infamous.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, my last question was going to be like what your hot takes are. What was the last thing you were gonna say?
I was just gonna say that's the one of the few games I've beaten, so I appreciate that. Second Son is awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you played all three Infamouses or just
that one? Yeah. Gotcha.
Same.
I played one of them at a Sony store in a mall once.
Wow.
Wait, yeah. What? Second Son or one of the other ones?
One of the ones on PS3 is the first time I ever played a PS3 was in a Sony store.
Wow.
Yep.
A Sony store?
Yeah, I never saw one before in my life. I don't even remember where it was.
I think you're making this up, Brigham.
You sure it wasn't just a regular GameStop, Brigham?
I mean, I just remember seeing this like theater area, and it was like all Sony themed. It was blue lighting, and they had a PS3 there to play.
Okay.
And they had like an Infamous game, and I was like, huh, this is a PS3.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason we played it is, if you'll remember, there was like that big... like release of everyone's information. And so Sony was like, here's a free game to apologize for selling your email.
Oh, no way.
I mean, I don't think they sold it, but like somebody
hacked. I think they got hacked. Yeah. I remember that.
And so we got Infamous for free, and John was like, you should try playing this. And yeah, it was another like Nancy Drew moment. That's what really got me to play games on my own. Yeah.
This game was made for me.
Oh man, I love it. And it's everything I don't love about video games, like certain games. Like I do not like melee combat. I don't really like super open world sandboxy type games, but for some reason Infamous is just like it's chef's kiss. It's beautiful.
All right, Kirsten. The floor is yours here. You get to bring up any hot takes or any opinion you have about the gaming industry or anything that Brigham and I have said in the last 70 episodes that you think is egregious or wrong or you don't agree with and you really want to bring it up here. This is your time. Lay it on us.
You should have definitely talked more about Persona in your JRPG podcast. And also, you should have talked about how JRPGs can be cringe. You didn't mention that at all. Tales of Arise was one of the cringiest things I have ever done in my life was watch that game. I wish they would stop making Dark Souls, Demon Souls, whatever their Bloodborne games. I can't stand them.
From software games. Yep.
Or really, I just wish my husband would realize he's really bad at them and to stop buying them.
He beat them.
Well, and that's the problem, because now he's gonna be like, I have to buy Sekiro 2, and I'm gonna be like, no, you didn't finish the first one. Yeah, I don't really like Nintendo, even though I loved playing as Link in my backyard. I don't care for the Zelda games. Not even Breath of the Wild.
Wow.
Big takes. Big hot takes.
Yep. I love shooting things. I love killing things. I like to use the Lancer in Gears of War and watch their heads pop off. It's a lot of fun. And I love sniping That is the best, because then I don't have to be right in the combat because I'm going to die. Yeah, and I have just as many platinums as John. So
really,
I do. Yep, two.
Wow, that is awesome.
They're both in Infamous.
That's not surprising.
Really?
Yep.
I guess because John's any percenter and yours is your completionist. So
yeah, so I've 100%ed every Tomb Raider, the new ones. That have come out. I love those games. They're very like puzzly, you know, but then you also get to kill things with a bow, which is awesome because you can do that from a distance. I've 100%ed Kingdom Hearts for some reason, but
that's interesting.
The newest one. Yeah. I mean, it's really good, but do you really have to collect everything? No. But did I want to? Yes.
Why didn't we talk about Persona 5 during the JRPG episodes? I know Patrick plays it.
I brought it up religiously. Really briefly. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of the greatest JRPG out there.
I would agree. Just in terms of what I've heard, I never played it before, but...
Yeah, we put, you know, over 90 hours into it. I mean, I think it takes minimum to beat about, is like 85.
But there was just
something about it. Like, it was... I don't know. It made no sense why we liked it. It's not our game at all. And yet it's so good. And it has a dedicated shelf in my game room. So.
Wow. You just loved doing the laundry and doing your homework, didn't you?
I didn't. I hate those things in real life. So
it has it compared to like Western RPGs like Assassin's Creed and stuff.
Here we go. He's poking the bear.
I tried to play Assassin's Creed. And the reason I finally put the controller down and didn't pick it back up is because I didn't understand the climbing. Like John said,
it's all random.
I think you press A and you just point the stick up. And I just couldn't do it. But in Infamous or Tomb Raider or Uncharted, like I could climb things so easily. It made so much sense, but...
That's fair. I'm surprised John continues to play Assassin's Creed games. I feel like they've gone downhill since they've been annualized or semi-annualized. So,
if a game comes out, John buys it.
That's fair.
If it's a game, John plays it.
Speaking
of
which,
you can't see me,
but
my nose flared. It's kind of annoying.
Yeah, Kristen and Brigham have had quite the conversation about what a Western RPG is.
Oh, so. Yeah.
I think I have kind
Brigham's
of.
Wrong.
I've changed my mind. I admit that I was a little bit wrong.
Okay.
You know?
A little bit.
Your definition was just a little too loose.
It was a little too loose. Very just I'll like admit that.
What Herb considers a gamer is a little too loose.
I agree with that too.
Everyone's a gamer. We're all gamers. Yeah, we're all playing the game that is life, okay?
Yeah. Okay.
It's all just beautiful. A game. All right, I think that's long enough. We've given the lady enough time. Time to get out of here. You got anything else, Brigham?
No, yeah, that's it. Thanks again, Kirsten, for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Awesome.
It's lots of fun.
Oh, yeah, I'm here. just saying, thanks for listening, everyone. If you enjoyed the show, give us a listen on your podcast listening app of choice, and a follow on Twitter at basementgaming9. Yes, that is the number 9. Don't worry about it. And tell your friends, tell your gamer friends, even if you have lady gamer friends, we want them even more, actually. And yeah, come back next time.
Peace.